The most dangerous place you can be as a trial lawyer is to think you've got it figured out.
I'm still trying to get better. I still have the passion for it. I believe in it.
Everyone can learn to do what I do.
And yet there's a group here that continues to get extraordinary verdicts.
Trial Lawyers University is revolutionizing educating lawyers to be better trial lawyers. It's been invaluable to me.
Trial Lawyers University, where the Titans come to train. Produced and powered by LawPods.
We got Joe Fried with us today here. It's our first podcast post-TLU Beach, which I personally had the best time of my life. I hope everybody else did too, but I felt it was my best effort at this thing we call event planning for trial lawyers education. Joe, where are you at first of all today?
Dan, today I'm in Port Aransas, Texas. I'm in a beach house that belongs to a friend of mine, doing a little work here and also visiting with him and his wife. And so it's a beautiful part of the country to be in. And I see you have the Paseo thing up in the background with my big face on the side. That was a big surprise to me. But, you know, going to your comment, though, Dan, starting out, I think universally, this isn't just me saying it, but you know, I know from speaking to other people who were speakers there, who were attendees there, even who were vendors there, who universally said this is the best program that they recall ever being to. And, you know, I know because, you know, I'm involved in a lot of programming. I know that doesn't just happen. I know that this was a passion project for you on top of you always put a lot into these, where whatever you're doing. But this one, I'm not sure exactly why, but you're just committed to making this the best program from the beginning. I mean, I remember us talking about it way back and you did it. There was the right amount of teaching that was going on, but there was also, it was balanced with the right amount of fun and the right amount of fellowship among attendees. All of the presenters I saw interacting, taking time to interact with their students, not only in the classes, but afterwards, you know, around a coffee or a drink or whatever, depending on what time of day it was, there was energy that lasted into the evening. You know, the parties that you threw were fun. And then even after the parties, for people who were so inclined to hang around afterwards, there were different options for people. Like you didn't have to be some hard charging partier if you didn't want to be. You could be if you wanted to be. But there was also places for, you know, lower key, just place to hang out with a couple of people and get to know them better. Some talk about law, but some talk about life and whatever else. So it was a fun time all the way around. And it, like I said before, it doesn't just happen. I know you worked really hard on it and you should be proud of it.
I was real happy with the event. I stayed at the Paseo for about 4 days afterwards. Think about it all and start planning 2026. So 2026, June 10th through 13th. And every time I do it, Joe, you know, it's just a game I'm playing with myself. I got to beat myself. I got to outdo whatever we did before. Because the thing I always put on my mind is like the pressure to impress my guests who were there last year. So they're like, wow, I didn't think it could get better than 2025, but this is actually better. So we got some new stuff planned for 2026. But let me talk about 2025 a little bit more, though, because you did some things on Saturday afternoon. You did a 3-hour little masterclass, whatever you want to call it, workshop for about 15 people just on trucking, because you called me up and told me you had a bunch more information you needed to share. I didn't have the space to do it except in a small space. So what was that experience about?
First of all, thank you for accommodating me in that, because I was the one who kind of asked you for that time, because I was feeling just a desire to share with a smaller, more intimate group sort of some of the best stuff that I know and focused on trucking. And there was a mixture of people there in terms of their experience levels. But I have gotten some of the most beautiful emails from people afterwards. Because we talked about, there was a lot of content that was thrown around, but there was also time, because we were a small group. It was time to talk about some individual cases, and there was time to talk about individual problems that people were universally facing and really in an interactive way kind of work on solutions. So it was great. It was 3 hours, I guess, is what it was. And I'll tell you, I mean, the time flew by. And, you know, afterwards, I ended up hanging around the same group, took it right from there outside, and more than half my group hung around and continued to talk about stuff afterwards. So I feel like I made some friends during that.
I'm sure you did. Then you and Satch started the program off with your perfect combination. on Thursday for 3 hours between speed trial and depositions, our trial.
Yeah. First of all, Satch has become one of my closest friends. I mean, he's a dear person in my life. He's also, I believe, one of the very, very top trial lawyers in the country. He's creative in his approach. He's unique in his approach. And it has been one of my recent joys as a lawyer to have opportunities to work with him more. And part of that is combining these different things that we both come to. They have a name, speed trial and depositioner trial, but really those are different. There's kind of our modern thinking about what do we do? Well, I mean, what do we do in our own offices to prepare for and then execute? And the execution, anybody who's a trial lawyer these days knows that trial has become something that so much is already canned on video. You know, I mean, it's not entirely, but a lot of us, especially in the civil side, you know, these cases, you know, a lot of the stuff is already canned. Working with Satch on pushing the envelope, on sort of combining our thought process, that's what we've been presenting. And we did it, I think this is sort of the second year that we've done it this way. And now we've already committed to plans to spend a few different days over this next year to evolve it further, push it into other areas that we haven't historically talked about. Because there was a lot of interest this year where people were saying, well, let's talk about these concepts applied beyond taking a corporate representative deposition or a truck driver's deposition. Let's apply this outside of that. Let's apply this in the jury selection context. Let's apply this in non-canned directs at trial. Let's talk about or crosses. Let's talk about, you know, some of the additional strategy things that we really haven't discussed. And that's what the goal is going to be for next year, frankly, is see what we come up with. And it'll be the first time it's ever been presented. It'll be unique. And I'm excited to see what evolves from it. I don't know exactly what it looks like yet, but I know that it's born from comments and questions that came up during this year's presentation. Very long-winded answer, but I'm kind of excited about that, Dan.
Next year, we already got the Paseo booked out from June 10th through 13th and 4-day period. And we'd be doing a boot camp ahead of that time for the 5 days before it. And that's what we did this year. It really worked out great. But speaking of boot camps at the Paseo, Joe, we're going there with the trucking. Joe Fried's trucking is called Secrets Mastery Boot Camp on August 12th through 16th back at the Paseo. And so that's why I spent a little time talking about this, because we've been working on this thing and thinking about this. And I've been working on coaching my performance and presentation skills. And I'm really excited, too, because we got this new trucking case, which is your trucking case. And we have a video of it. And we have actual photos from the scene. It's a motorcycle versus truck wrongful death case. And, you know, so like to make that illusion come to life in front of a jury is quite the challenge, because like, but having the video so people can actually see it, so that it's so much easier to imagine the story when you're actually witnessed it than retelling it, right? Because I think that's a great job of a great trial lawyer, is to transport the jury into the story. So almost they're on the side of the road watching this happen. Like, stop, 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 right?
Yeah, they're creating their own video in their head, right? Through the work that we do. So I'm excited about the program. I mean, I think at the highest level, this is a program that divides itself content-wise. It divides itself. What I'm going to be doing at the program is spending time in small groups with people. I think we've decided that there will be about 5 people in each group. And I'm going to be teaching kind of based on what the experience level is in these groups and just taking them to the next couple of levels in their knowledge and application, their knowledge and skill sets in trucking. And so it's going to be geared to, and we'll probably have 3 groups. We talked about this, and it'll probably be sort of the beginner group, the intermediate group, and a more advanced group. And I'm going to have content for each one of them. It's not going to be the same content, because it shouldn't be. It can't be. We're going to do some work in advance. We're going to actually have a couple of Zoom discussions and presentations in advance of even getting out there, so we get some baseline things established. And then I'm going to work with these groups on things that, how to take a case and develop it out and execute it in the most effective way that I know how. And I mean, this has been my life for now over 20 years working specifically on trucking. There'll be some speed trial things that get worked into it because I can't help myself. So that's kind of one part of it. But then another part of this for people who are interested, and I think everybody should be, is to work on the presentation skills themselves, which is something that you've spent a lot of time on, and you're going to take the lead on that side. And you and your people, you have a couple other folks who you've worked, I know, real closely with. To about 5 or 6 months ago, we picked an active case. We, based on some criteria that we wanted good action. We wanted a couple of other things. We wanted good visuals. And I said, well, I'm thinking about this new one that just came in, and we started talking about it. Turns out that, you know, it's got just about the right amount of complexity. I'm going to use some of that in my teaching, and you're going to be using that, and you already have been developing out how to teach people. And people need to understand, this is not going to be a sit on your ass time for a few days. This is going to be intense mornings, afternoons. It may run into the evenings. If you come, you've got to be prepared to not only soak up a lot of information, but be on your feet actually doing things yourself. This is not a place you're going to be able to hide. Every single person will be on their feet every single day doing things for real. And, you know, for some folks, when they hear that, they go, oh, it's scary. You may want to sit there and say, well, I don't feel comfortable doing that. I'm not. You're the person who this is made for. You're the person who needs to step into that fear. I mean, if you're going to go to the next level, then find relatively safe places to do that. I mean, if you're not going to do it here, are you going to go into a courtroom? I mean, how are you going to deal with the fear of that? And don't you want to go into the courtroom better prepared in terms of, if you've got to screw something up, don't you want to screw it up in a relatively safe place first? Learn how to address it, you know, move forward from there. You're going to be 1,000 times more prepared. So anyway, I know I'm rambling, but I'm excited to see we're presenting this kind of at the same time. People will be alternating back and forth from getting content from me, application from me, and then working with you and your handpicked team of folks on actual on their feet presentation skills.
No, it's going to be great because, like, the schedule, we have 6 Zoom meetups ahead of time. So you're going to work with people on their understanding of the trucking world and what the foundational knowledge that they need to possess to help when you get in person. I believe the more work we do ahead of time, that sets the stage for getting a lot more done in person when everybody shows up and they're prepared and they're ready to go. And so that's why we work really focus on the cross-examination skills and the performance skills.
I agree.
We just use a set piece of cross of the defense medical expert. But once you master that cross, which teaches all the fundamental skills, which I believe, I mean, it's a good structure to use, I think, on any expert. But I think it really teaches the fundamental skills of cross, which, I mean, the obvious ones are leading questions only, one new fact per question, looping. Those are all pretty basic. But looping, most people don't loop. Unless you intentionally loop, you know, establish a fact, repeat that fact, the next statement, people don't do that unconsciously, although they should. But cross-examining the present tense, forcing the questioner to visualize the story, causes the witness to visualize it. More importantly, allows the jury to actually picture the story. Effectively dropping all the taglines like right, correct, isn't it true? And if you have to use them, I think it works a lot better if there's a pause between the statement and the tagline. For example, you're a truck driver, true? As opposed to, you're a truck driver, true? And having that time and space to allow the mind to process the information is very important. Dropping all the filler words like and, so, okay, etc. People do that. If they discipline themselves not to, they'll start every sentence with and. Effectively using a flip chart, that means writing legibly. That means putting one topic per page. That means you're learning to use it as a teaching tool. You know, being intentional with our emotional state, right? Because, you know, we talked about this before. There's really two emotional states that dominate cross, and they're not frustration and anger. Because if that's, it's like you give the witness a little remote control, right, Joe? They're pushing little buttons. I think it's curiosity when you're laying foundations, and disappointment when you impeach or you show the dishonesty. Oh, pacing, to intentionally slow down. Because most people, you can watch CVN, from the direct to the cross speeds up so much because people's heart rate goes up. And in that slowing down, training ourselves to breathe, because people stop breathing in cross too, and the pressure's on them, and when they don't breathe properly, their voices trail off. They speed up trying to get everything out in one breath, trying to get a 30-second statement out in one breath. So those are the core skills of cross-examination. We do that in the context of the defense medical expert cross, training that. And then, you know, the key concept of performance skills, which is eye contact, you know, and training ourselves to make eye contact with the person before we start talking to them, speaking more slowly, controlling our facial expressions, our emotional states. You do a lot of that state control stuff. So important, like so critical to utilize every chance we have. We start to feel anger, frustration, like, whoa, I can control that, you know, and really state control. So, you know, glance control, creating space, creating illusions, because the idea in performance skills is everybody trains with watching the video, but you make that video actually come to life so everybody witnesses that same crash. So that when you show them the video, that's like, oh, that's just how I pictured it. So that's some of the stuff we're going to touch on as far as the performance and training skills.
Well, it's, and you've heard me say this many times, when it's about, we don't see ourselves unless somebody takes a video of you and shows it to you. We don't really see ourselves and we don't see how much better we can be. And so this environment is one where even just examining and making choices for yourself on how you want to present something, as opposed to it just being what you happen to do naturally, which may or may not be the most effective you. So why not take an opportunity in a controlled setting to practice other things, try them on, see what they're like, even staying in people's eyes. For a lot of people, including me, I mean, historically, before I trained myself out of it, I mean, it was really hard for me to stay in somebody's eyes. So these are teachable skills that you get an opportunity to work on, and not only a little. I mean, you'll be on your feet working. And you know, I've talked to lots of people who have been through this type of training with you, Dan, and you know, some people may not agree with exactly everything. That's okay. And some people will agree with absolutely everything. But regardless, getting on your feet and doing the work is going to make you a better trial lawyer all the way through, because it's going to even make you, even beyond the presentation, the more work you do on presentation actually makes you a better strategist also. Because now you've got a bigger tool chest of tools that are available to you, make choices in how you want to present, how you want to think about setting up the space that you're going to do your work in. What do you want that to look like? What do you want your visuals to look like? How are you the kind of person who likes to work with an easel pad and a pencil, I mean, or a pen or a Sharpie? How are you going to do that? How are you going to plan it? The more you do it, the better planner you're going to be, so that at the end of the day, more effective, period. That's what it's about, content and presentation.
That's a great point, because if you don't have the tools of performance, when you think about your stories, all you think about is the narrative. And the narrative puts people to sleep and uses up a lot of bandwidth when people are trying to visualize the story you're telling them, because that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to picture it because the story you're telling them is in one dimension. They're trying to put it in three dimensions so they can actually understand what you're talking about.
It's also just not, it's boring to them. I mean, at the end of the day, part of, I think, one of the most underappreciated skills of being a trial lawyer is you've got to be part entertainer. You've got to capture the attention and then keep the attention. If you've got the best content in the world, people aren't listening, it's not going to work out very well. I mean, that's why, frankly, some people, it's almost more important than the content. You see people win things based on their storytelling and their presentation skills more than if the person's got great content and they suck. You know, I mean, I don't know how to say that any better than that.
There's a lot of it. It's really great here. So they won't be on their feet every day. They'll be on their feet every hour, because we break the time up into, like, you know, 10-minute slots. So you have 1 hour, everybody's up for 10 minutes. You know, as far as you, the much practice you get in 10 minutes. And since we're all oftentimes, when we're doing the performance skills, people are performing the same chunk as the person before them. So they're paying close attention, and they're paying close attention to the one after them because they're still learning, right? If everybody's doing something different, then exactly how the person's performing it before and after you isn't quite as important.
Well, you're certainly interested if you're two on deck behind. So you're watching and you can't help but compare yourself, which is not what it's about. It's not about comparing yourself to others. It's about comparing where you walk out of this at the end of a few days of doing it versus where you started. And how is it for you? And I can tell you this, for most people who come to something like this, they will get more on their feet experience in a few days of doing this than they've ever gotten in decades long career of being a lawyer. So for a lot of people, for the very first time ever, they're bringing intentionality into their presentation side of things. And so it's a unique experience. This is not an easy one to get in. And that's why most effectively taught in small group settings, you need enough people to be your support team in the room with you. You need people because you're presenting to people. But then getting those reps, me, Dan and I always talk about, you've got a gazillion reps. If you're 50 years old, you got 50 years of reps doing whatever the hell you've been doing, right? So you got to get enough reps on your feet over, you know, in order to start changing that. We're all just creatures of patterns that we've lived in. So we're creating a program where you can get enough reps in over a relatively short period of time to where you can leave with meaningful change. You never go back to the old way because you got enough reps in this way.
And people are going to be bringing their own cases too. So it's not like you're just working on this theoretical or this case of Joe's. That's the training model. That's where you learn the skills. But the idea is to learn the skills to apply to your own case. The whole time they'd be working on the strategies of their case, putting their evidence together. It's like Joe Fried is their co-counsel. But in the second half of the program, that's when people start to work on their own opening statements or own chunks of cross. But first, they have to learn the skills. And so in the program, it's a series because we start every morning at 7 o'clock. You know, that's what time breakfast is at the hotel. So it starts at 7. When people get there, 7:15, 7:30. But class starts at 8. We go from 8 to 12:30. Take a couple breaks, real short breaks to obviously have a break every hour or so. And, you know, the first part on the 12th, we're going to work on the skills of cross-examination in the morning, performance skills in the afternoon. You know, then on the 13th, that's when you get there. And then again, continue to work on the performance skills and then people working on their cases with you. And that just continues as we learn the foundational skills and then start working, you know, by the third and fourth and fifth days, people working on their own materials, their own crosses besides the strategy. So that makes it great because their cases get so many times, not just that case, it gets so many times better. Every case they work in the future, right? Because they're not just learning how to frame that one case or work in that one case. They're still learning a ton from those other four cases, the people in their group and from their peers around them, right? Because at lunch, at dinner, you know, what are they going to be, you know, because then we have lunch at 12:30 from 12:30 to 2, and then we have a dinner every night. Most people come to dinner because we're at the Paseo Hotel, right?
I'm glad in August we're going to be at the Paseo Hotel instead of...
You're the one that moved it to Vegas. I'm like, dude, it's 115 degrees. You're like, we're inside. I'm like, that's true, but it's still 115 degrees.
Yeah, it's going to be much better. It's going to be much better at the Paseo.
So much better. Like, it's crazy how much better it's going to be. Plus, it's like my home away from home. So that's the thing I like about it. It's like coming home.
I think Dan owns the Paseo Hotel, by the way. But anyway, that's a whole nother conversation. Hey, Dan, let's change subjects here because we've beat up this. It's going to be fun. Come to the program. There's only actually a few seats.
As of this recording, there's still 6 spots left. So, because the program is limited to 15 students.
Yeah.
But if you do want to come as a juror, you can do that too. Because some people just want to come and don't have a case they're working on, but they want to learn and they want to be around. And I think that's fantastic. And end of the free trucking performance boot camp conversation.
Yes. Thanks, Dan. So I want to change gears before I let these people go, you know, since I feel like I've got a captive few minutes with Dan Ambrose to just kind of talk to you a little bit about TLU. Is that okay?
Sure. TLU's coming along. Great. Thank you.
Well, I've got a few more questions than that. I didn't want just the great thing. You know, I mean, it feels like things are evolving. So share with me, if you don't mind, and the rest of us, what's your thinking moving forward from here? I think you've done a lot of great things in really upping the game on the experience for people who come to this. But I also know that you spend a lot of time thinking about what's the future look like, both kind of near future for TLU and then vision for down the road. Would you share a little bit what's on your mind?
Yeah. So obviously I want to build the best programs ever, anything I do. And so I'm excited about my boot camps, like the ones we're doing with you. And I'm doing one after that with Michael Hill. We're doing one with Satch Oliver in, you know, Rogers, Arkansas next year. I got one with Kimball Jones on insurance bad faith, you know, John Romano on spine trials, Pat Salvi Jr. on medical malpractice, and a few more that I can't think of right now, but I'm pretty stoked about it because, oh, with TBIs and Sagi Shaked in Miami. And it's because, like, when I get to work with people that are super the top of their field, like, I learned so much, which is exciting for me, you know, and every time I do these boot camps, I learn so much, I become a better presenter. And so I've been really working on those skills, and I'm going to continue to work on, you know, refinement of my boot camps, because I think they are transformational for the people that come to them. If you become confident in public speaking in general, beyond the courtroom, it changes your life. When you walk into a party and you're like, I own this party, everybody wants to meet me, and that's your mindset, and I'm going to make so many friends. It's so different than who are these people? I have nothing in common with them, you know, and just finding those connections and then just continue to, but I really want to work on trials. So I've seen some trials, and I've been, you know, whenever my friends are in trial, you know, popping in with them a bit and, you know, going back into the war rooms. But also now they don't have any big conference until June 2026, gives me a chance to get to trial.
Why did you decide to take a break? Because, I mean, historically there were two main programs. There was the Vegas program, which was actually the bigger program, and then Paseo, which was sort of the spring program. But it seems like, you, obviously, this year you focused on Paseo, the beach program, and these boot camps, and you're not doing a fall program this year, correct?
Correct. Correct. Because like doing a fall, doing a Vegas program, or when I did it in New York on the off year, there's no breaks. It's like, if I was doing that Vegas program, I'm 12 hours a day, every day, working on that between all the, that's a big program. It's a lot of responsibility financially. You know, you sign contracts for over $1 million. It forces you to really focus, not to be a sissy, but there's a fair amount of pressure. And it's like, I just didn't want to work 12 hours a day.
Kind of like preparing for trial.
It's like preparing for trial. It's really, because there's so many moving parts. There's stuff you have control over, stuff you don't have control over. You have experiential knowledge. You have all these new things popping up like you've never seen before, that you're like, every new venue, new event, plus with all the people of Vegas, all the speakers, everything to organize. I was just like, I just didn't feel like it. You know what I mean? It's like, I want to enjoy every moment. Like, I love building, you know, these programs. I want to continue to love doing it. And it's a great joy, like, to know that, you know, when I'm at the Paseo, from the time I get there to the time I leave, like, I have so much energy. I'm just like, I feel like I'm radiating. And people are like, think I'm on drugs. And they're like, what are you on? I'm like, look, you know the experience you're having right now? You know with how good you feel about what you're learning, the people you're meeting? Like, yeah. I'm like, well, times that by 50 or maybe by 500. I know on the first day of the conference what everybody's going to experience over the next 4 days. Because I planned it all. I visualized it. And they don't know it yet because they're just experiencing it in the moment. But I've seen the future. And so I know how they're going to feel come Sunday. And so it gives me great happiness to be able to be in a position to do that. But I wanted to keep the happiness, you know? I don't want it to turn into something where it's like, this feels like work. I'm not like excited about it every moment. I want to be excited, right? Cases that you're not excited about, no matter what they're worth. If you're not excited about it, why do it?
And what it feels like to me is a lot of an effort. Like Paseo, the difference between the feeling Huntington Beach and Vegas programs, it's like the difference between a more intimate setting and a not more intimate setting, right? Like they're still big enough. Beach is still big enough. I mean, how many people were there? 800 or 900?
A little over 800.
Yeah. So it's still a big program when it comes, when you, by comparison to what most people are used to, but it doesn't feel like it. The rooms that you were in, the rooms were the right size. Like you weren't tucked way back in the back of some, you know, big giant room somewhere, just watching somebody drone on. So I think that it feels like what you're focusing on is a lot of connection too, like connection between speakers and the audience, connection between the attendees. Feels to me like a lot of effort. Because like people like the parties, for instance, parties aren't for everybody, but connection seems like it is for everybody. And the parties were fun. They weren't people standing around typical lawyer party. Not that there's anything wrong with those parties either, but it feels like it's about connection. I mean, like even like these boot camps, to some degree, this is kind of going back to your roots before you were building big programs. You were building these smaller, you know, whether it's called Trojan Horse or whether it was called case analysis. It was about bringing a defined number of people together to have an experience. So it feels like evolved to a point where coming back to the nest a little bit too. Do you know for sure, is it going to be another Vegas program ever? Or could it be that it's Huntington Beach, this amazing program, and then it's a series of boot camps for people? I mean, could that be what it looks like? Or are you just not sure yet?
I'm not sure. I've looked into doing Vegas at the Virgin Hotel because that's more my speed of hotel than like Caesars because it has 3 freestanding buildings.
Everybody knows you're a Virgin. It's okay. Go on.
Thank you. Thank you. That's why it's my speed. And so I can buy out like a tower or 2 of the towers and do like a 1,000 person program, but it will feel different. It won't feel like Caesars because what makes the Paseo special, I think, is that everybody in that building, you know them in some way, shape or form, you have a connection with them because we buy out the whole building, right? For the conference. And like for next year, when you talk about connections, I'm going to be working so much harder on that because this year we did a few Zoom meetups like in the 2 months ahead of time. There'd be 20, 30 people. The last one had 100 people on it right before the conference. But I'm going to start doing these Zoom meetups once a month, right? You know, starting at the end of August. So whoever's registered, as people register, they'll get the notices for the future meetings. They could pop on, socialize a little bit, meet a little bit, and help kind of see the development of the program. But the whole idea is to get people comfortable get to know each other ahead of time.
You know, it'd be kind of cool, Dan, have some of those people, because a lot of times when we've had these in the past, you know, a speaker might introduce themselves. Hey, you know, I'm going to do such and such, which I think is important for people to know so that they can already start to make decisions, because there's so much content. I know people can watch things. If they go to one presentation, they can watch the other presentation, you know, on Traveler University's on demand, but you still have to make decisions. You can't be in every room, right? So knowing who the speakers are is important, but it'd be kind of fun. I mean, just speaking as one of the speakers, it'd be kind of fun to be introduced, just short a few people, letting a few people talk who are just attendees. Hey, I'm an attendee. I'm coming for this, you know, on some of those Zoom calls. It'd be kind of fun so that people know each other. Hey, I saw you. You were one of the people who spoke on the Zoom call. It'd be kind of pick on people.
Joe, you know me. That's what I do, buddy. I'm like, but what I do is I introduce the people that I know on the Zoom call and then see if there's anything else they want to talk about themselves.
It'd be cool to even ask them when they're signing up for it. Hey, would you like to introduce yourself? Would you like to be one of the people who introduce yourself? So that they actually have something that they're prepped to say. You know, I mean, some people like the advance notice. Anyway, it's far, far be it for me to say how you should run anything, but it'd be kind of fun.
Look, Joe, there wouldn't be all this great food if it wasn't for Joe Fried, because Joe Fried, after my first masterpiece of a conference in 2021, I was like, Joe, how was it? And he looked at his face like, can I be honest with you? I'm like, well, what can I say now? But I'm even taking that whole food thing further, because in 2026, I'm going to have like Lorraine's at the Paseo. I'm going to buy out that restaurant on the Tuesday beforehand and set up a dinner for everybody that's coming, that if they want to, you know, join us for dinner the night before on Tuesday, and then Wednesday, I'm going to have the breakfast bought out so that everybody, whoever was there, I bought breakfast for on Wednesday, but a lot of people didn't know. So it's only like 30 people. Everybody's like, I didn't know there's breakfast, but everybody that's there doing the workshops on Wednesday, for whatever reason, can hang out, you know, can come and get breakfast. And so
I tell you, for people who don't know Huntington Beach, I mean, like when I first went out there the first time, I was like, you know, whatever. It's a cool freaking place. I mean, and you're just down the road from a couple of other beach towns. If you go, consider like having an extra day or so out there. I mean, it's now become one of the places my wife looks forward to coming with me to the Paseo, because we found some really good restaurants out there. She likes, you know, going down to a couple of these other little beach towns. It's starting to be almost like a destination CLE. You know, like you get there, you see some of the same people you saw last year, which is also fun. And I'm going to say this, you didn't ask me to say it. Maybe these podcast people will cut it out, you know, later if you don't want it in here. But I'm just going to say this to people who are also looking for opportunities to potentially speak. I've come to see how you do that, Dan, and you're not going to put somebody up to speak if you don't think that that's going to add to the success of the program, which has got to be good for the speaker and for the people who come. But if people are looking, they want to do that at some point, and they haven't had the ability to do it to this point, I would pull all the people who are out there in program world, I'd pull Dan Ambrose over and ask him about it. And here's the reason why. Unlike anybody else I know, he's going to shoot absolutely straight with you. He's going to tell you whether he thinks you're going to be successful at it or not, and why. You know, and some people misunderstand that, Dan. When you do it, they go, damn, man, Dan just cut my freaking legs out from under me. I mean, and they misappreciate that your intentions are to build an amazing program. And if they want to be a part of that amazing program, then they have to bring their best self to it. It's not a place for necessarily somebody who doesn't have a proven background in speaking, but I think that you create those opportunities for people too. I mean, like with the various things that get done during the year that aren't part of the big program. I'm talking over myself, and we didn't talk about me making this statement, but if I were interested in being a speaker and I felt like I had something that was unique to offer the world of trial lawyers, I would talk to you about that and say, help me figure out a strategy so that maybe not next year, maybe it might take 2 or 3 years to work this up to the point where I'm getting on stage at TLU, but I want to be on the path for that. So help me figure out how to do it. And I'll talk to you about that. I think that you would shoot very straight with folks. And then if it became the right time, you would promote the crap out of their program on those Zoom meetings and everything else so that their room would be full. People know who the hell they were before they ever came to the program, which, you know, if you're speaking opposite somebody who's got a lot of name recognition, yeah, it probably doesn't feel good to be in a room and you got 4 people in your room, and it doesn't do you much good and it doesn't do the program any good. I'm talking all over myself again here, but I think it's important if you want to be we're all in this for different reasons, right? I mean, we're all hopefully in this to be the best version of ourselves as a lawyer and a human being as possible. If you want a piece of that to be an educator in this space, Dan's a good person to talk to.
You can catch what you missed on TLU On Demand. It has all of the live conferences that we've done for the last 3 years, including TLU 2024 in Las Vegas at Caesars Palace. All 9 tracks are being recorded. In addition to that, over 385 webinars, and we collect the pleadings, transcripts, and PowerPoints for all of these cases. And it's an app for your phone, so you can learn anytime, anywhere. If you don't have TLU On Demand and you want to try it out, send me an email, dan@triallawyersuniversity.com, and I'll send you a complimentary access code. TLU On Demand, it's the library for trial.
I work on building these programs. I work on, you know, this year was the most, a lot of people were so many people, this is the best program ever. Most wide range, diverse speakers from all over the place. People they never heard of before, who they got so much from. And it makes me very happy, right? Because I think that when people have something to share that they want to get out, it's like, I'd like to give people that platform if they have something they want to teach and make the world a better place, more enlightened place, obviously, is what we're trying to do here. Oh, one more thing on the connection thing, Joe, just make a note of this for next year. Sunday brunch on the last day of the program. So trying to get people to plan ahead, because they remember, you got to say, that way we welcome nicely and then we say goodbye nicely. Because I visualize that restaurant with 250 people in it that are there on Sunday morning saying goodbye, taking care. We'll see you next year. What are we working on? Let's get to next year. Because that's very important. I think like I'm missing the closure of the conference.
Well, I like it. I'm also hearing something else in that. And that's if you don't plan that, and especially if you're an East Coast person, what's happened is that means you've made your reservation to leave on Saturday afternoon. And you're missing, but this year, you know, I mean, there was much less drop off at the end than I'd seen before. People were sticking out, but I agree with you. Look, I mean, me and my wife, we stayed over and left the next day, left on Sunday.
It always boggles my mind that people leave early. I'm like, this is the best time. The last day, you know, more people, you have more friends. Where are you going to be in an environment where you got 20 friends around you, like friends?
Yeah. The problem is people have, for you, it's 100% your life, right? For those, a lot of these people, they got to get back because they got family obligations. They didn't bring their spouse. They got kids. They got to get back on Sunday, or they got to get back on Saturday. I mean, even some of the speakers had to leave after they were done on Saturday. I mean, you'd think that they would want to stay too.
It's going to be a planning issue, Joe. That's why I'm planning that breakfast ahead of time, doing all these things ahead of time, talking about them ahead of time.
I agree. Plan, but life, you know, I'm just saying, you know, spouses sometimes take your plan and turn them on their head. You know, you got to get home.
I know, but I always tell my friends, I'm like, you need to like, oh, I got my wife and kids. I'm like, you need to be at this program for your wife and kids because they cost a lot of money. And I'm pretty sure you're the one feeding them. And so the more skills, the more friends that you have that can refer you case to collaborate, the more money you can make, the better you can do for your family. I know you bring your wife, but I always tell people, don't, unless you're, because we're here to do business. My goal is for you to make more money. That's my goal at the end of the day. You make more money, you're going to be happier.
I'm not telling Terry you said I shouldn't bring her.
Don't tell that. Because people come, I'm like, and they don't spend the time meeting people, connecting with people, and they're not getting the full value of it. And I want them to get the full value of it because they get the full value of it. It's a value beyond compare. And my goal, you know, we talk about speakers. My goal, and I'm going to tell people this next year, and I didn't mention it this year, but my goal is that those people that are in the audience, that they get on this stage, that they get verdicts, that we can do case analysis on it. So that way they can start developing the skills of teaching in a lower stress environment via Zoom and start building their little brand. Everybody wants a brand, right? If you're in this business.
You know, I'm a huge proponent. I've volunteered my time with several this last year to help other people talk about their cases, especially if they had a speed trial component of it. And I look forward to continuing to do that. So, and I think it's good for them. It's good for all of us because learning in theory is one thing, but learning from the real world is like nothing else. But I've appreciated our time together. I think we've covered all of our stuff. And, you know, it was fun for me, Dan, to meet your sisters. That was fun. I asked for baby pictures. If I could use them in my presentation next year. So I'm hoping to get some embarrassing Dan pictures.
The one that everybody loves is my modeling pictures, my modeling portfolio card when I was 17 years old. I'm like,
you got the fake smile thing going on. They showing your teeth. Yeah.
All happy smiles. That's what
all happy smiles. That's where you learned how to smile from your eyes,
smile
right?
Smile from my eyes. That's right.
That's right. All right, my man, I appreciate you. Thank you. And thank you to Noel for finding my big picture of me that's above.
Yes, look at that.
Yeah, that's right. And thank you to your Law Pods team, who always do a good job, you know, helping me beforehand, make sure that I got all my stuff worked out right.
Robert's the man. That's why I'm so grateful for it. But like, I just look at this picture, remember? And I sent you the picture because Joe's picture was, that same picture was on the elevator door. And Joe's like, can I get a bigger picture? My wife said, no, if you have a bigger picture of myself. And then I'm like, won't you be surprised, Joe?
That's right. I was surprised. My wife said that we walk into the hotel, my picture's on the door. My wife looks at me and she says, how adorable.
All right, Joe.
All right. Thanks a lot, Dan. Appreciate it.
Ready to train with the Titans and set records with your verdicts? Register for our live conferences and boot camps at triallawyersuniversity.com. Start getting your reps in before the big event by going to tluondemand.com to gain instant access to live lectures, case analysis, and skills training videos from the trial lawyer champions you love and respect, as well as pleadings, transcripts, PowerPoints, and notes for a roadmap to victory. Join the group that continues to get extraordinary results. Trial Lawyers University, produced and powered by Law Pods.